Well, hello everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of Let's Get This Going On, Digital Minds and Dark Dreams. I'm Alicia, an English philologist and dark dreamer.
I'm Cecilia, I'm the tech-savvy growth guru.
And today we are going to talk about how to start your entrepreneurial journey using your failures as a gift. Because being episode 2, we want to start getting into the core of the what this podcast, video podcast, is about. And what do you think for you, Cecilia? What, you know, is a very good question, and it's one of these phrases that came out in conversation. When we think about our beginnings of the journey of as an entrepreneur, I mean, I've even been looking into if there's any academic or courses or university courses, and I found out some things yesterday that triggered ideas that I was mentioning to you privately. And because I felt that we kind of on our own, we're lonely, abandoned, and yet we are pushed to the future is digital, the future is online, you are around your 50s, you're going to be left behind. So how did the journey start for you, and why is it so important that we get the beginning right?
The journey started actually, for me, it was more like I worked for a tech company, which was kind of not doing the things right. And I felt like if these guys can do business, so can I. So that was more like... I ended that job and thought, okay, I'll just start my own business because I can do this as well. And for those who's kind of read up on my background, I've been working within like tech for, if you call it tech or whatever you call it, it's like for the last 20, 25 years within digital marketing, like structuring digital, like web pages, social media, like the whole digital sphere of different companies. So for me, it was kind of the online was, of course, one of the things that came forth, like you need to be online. Online is good. So I started off with, as you said, you don't know really where to start. And I've been working internationally for almost all my years working. And I thought, okay, I'll just start off and try and make some online courses. Mm-hmm. So I started off taking some online courses for myself to learn how to do online courses. So that was kind of the start. It was like, okay, you kind of look around and you go like, who can actually inspire me and help me? And we all kind of see that it's so many people out there selling online courses to help you sell your online courses.
Yes.
So that was where I actually started. And I thought, okay, I'll start off with online courses. And until now, I've been working for myself now for 4 or 5 years, and I haven't really had too many online courses because all my clients kind of came in because they knew me from before. They knew what I'm capable of doing. So I help other people create online presence. So that was kind of... For me, it's been really, a curious, what is that, voyage through the whole thing, because my plan, the phone started ringing.
Yeah. Oh, it's ringing, it's talking, don't worry.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
It's okay.
I put it on do not disturb, sorry, it's just going off on its own.
Yeah, we got the ghost in the machine.
Call somebody. You need somebody now because you're off.
The message there. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, for me it was looking into this and then starting off with helping clients building their online presence. And if that is in regards to building online courses, or it's just actually building their online presence, it's like being clear on what. What is my product? Who am I? And what do I do?
It gets a bit like, you know, it's very interesting because my journey started very similar to you. I had my language school, my physical place. And I said, we said, well, clients are getting strange. The demand is weird. We need online presence to have more clients. It started like that, really. And we started implementing technicalities, making our webpage more digital, employing an IT guy to do pages that could have quizzes. And it became such a big thing and so slow. And I thought, well, once we move on to the online, we just need a little course for someone to explain how to jump on the online. And I thought it was just going to be like, you know, when you move houses and you just take your furniture and you put it in another place. I thought it was going to be like that. Well, guess what? No.
No, sorry.
No, it doesn't work like that. Because at the same time, for me, I was going through a crisis, and you know, a crisis of existential crisis on my in my profession. It made me question if I really wanted to stay in that sector, if I still was a philologist that I was thinking I was going to be for all my life. It made me question so many things.
Yeah.
That it seems to be just let's move this business that is physical now to the online. It became a journey of self-discovery.
Absolutely.
And there's where you go, okay, I need to stop. I need to stop. Because we were like in this, I think most of us were on this speed train. And all of a sudden something happens, like an illness, like my husband's case, that like he had an ictus and had problems, you know. And then there was a pandemic after that. So it was like stopping a high-speed train all of a sudden. What happens? Exactly. Boom. Wow. You just crash. And I think there are so many entrepreneurs out there probably resonating with these two stories.
Yeah.
Where in some cases maybe they thought, I think I can do better and I don't have to commit to this timetable like it was your case. Or it could be, I need to reinvent myself and I want to do it online.
Yeah.
And as you said, now is the difficult part, which is, what am I selling? I sell my language courses. And then I decided, I can't be bothered doing this. So many people talking about how to learn English online. And I just couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
So I had to reinvent. And, you know, when you do these courses to sell courses online, they say, what is your passion? You know, keywords here. Define passion, you know. My passion is my family, is my husband. That doesn't bring money.
It could, maybe. You haven't just found it yet. Yeah.
But how do you do that? Well, think about, you know, you have to do this list. I don't know if you've done anything on these courses, but write a list. Ask people around you what they think about your strengths, and you there sending people's messages. Can you please say something about me?
Yeah. What am I good for?
You put people in a compromise, and then yes, you start seeing that there are strengths there, but maybe your brain starts going this way as well. You think maybe this is what they see from the outside. Because there were some things that people coincided with when they described Alicia. And yes, I'm very open. I speak my mind up. When I get into a project, I really give it all because I'm really passionate about what I believe. But that didn't mean they knew me deeply because I don't even know myself deeply and profoundly, and I'm investigating my unconscious at the moment, and it's very busy. It's full of archetypes and things that I'm learning I have that I didn't know I had. So maybe we were not so crazy after all. Maybe there's so much going on that, yes, it ended up being I first need to first get rid of all this trauma, and second, who I really am or who I want to become truly and deeply. Yeah. And that goes by searching information and figuring out, oh, look, there's something called a Myers-Briggs test or there's all these personality tests, and even I use these for my students, my advanced and first certificate learning English students, as part of a classroom exercise. Oh, let's figure out who we are. Mm-hmm. And it started like that for me. Yeah, it was through English that I came across these tests. But if we had to say to someone now, okay, now we are starting now like another business on the side with this podcast. And for me, it's completely different. Because I've had these 3 or 4 years like yourself.
Yeah.
Getting all the crap out of the way. And now it's like I truly, really know what I'm doing. Also because I have a fantastic collaborator. And you recognize things too.
Yeah, but I think also what you said in the beginning here, that like you were finished with the language courses and you wanted to do something new. And that was me as well, because I started off with thinking, I do not want to do digital marketing. I'm finished with digital marketing. That was the thing. I was like, I wanted to use my coaching. I wanted to use my I'm a certified reflexologist, and I thought, okay, I really care about people. So I started thinking, like, I want to be more and talking to people, learning about people. So I was like, let's just put this digital things aside and I'll do the coaching, because I took a course like with Tony Robbins, like a coaching thing.
Oh, you did?
Yes. And they also talked about what you said. So what is your passion? What is something you can talk about for an hour without really using notes or anything? And I was like, okay, I can talk about people, but for me, just get me going with the digital thing about talking about websites or whatever. Then I'm off, because that is something I really do. And it took me also a while from going from, I definitely don't want to do that, till I actually found that that is one of my strengths. It's for me to actually help people, as I've been doing with you as well. It's like finding who you are and helping you also with the digital stuff, like your branding, who you are, knowing it's like what is actually stopping you. So combining the two in what I say is like the grow and glow. Because the more you actually know who you are yourself, the easier it is to come across with the things you actually want to work with and you're passionate about. And it takes some time before you actually know. And as you said, with our cooperation now with this podcast, it's just, I'm at a totally different place. After now working for 5 years, it's like now I'm like, oh yeah, now this is fun. I'm actually working with somebody. And that is something I thought I didn't really need, because I could work on my own. I really love being on my own, but still what I've noticed during these 5 years is that I like having people around, and it's fun doing things together with somebody else instead of just doing everything myself. And we need people around. We need people to kind of help us both with the business, personal. And for me, that has kind of, as you said, COVID hit. It's like I started my business and then suddenly it was like, poof, okay, there was COVID. I really enjoyed it. My business was thriving in the beginning because, we were all sitting at home. And if it was something I knew, it was digital. It's like having Zoom meetings, having all these digital tools and stuff. And I knew that was my kind of area of expertise. So as you said with the Maya Briggs test, we talked about this before this episode, and I said, I've taken it, but I haven't really, I looked like on the highlights of it and was like, okay, this is me. I mentioned that to you as well. I've taken it twice, and once I came out like more of an extrovert, and the other time I came like an introvert. So I'm kind of in the middle. But my test was an ENJF/A. So
I don't know this FA/thing, where it comes from. I'll have to investigate that.
We need to say, but it says something about the protagonists. I'm a diplomat and people master is kind of my But looking into that, I'm really interested as well because I want to look more into this. And when Alicia yesterday said, okay, she kind of put in our two types or results in, in ChatGPT, and she said, this is really good because we were really...
We have a really good match. Yeah, because we do share. I mean, for those who don't know what this means, it all started with Carl Jung and his... four personality types. Actually, there are eight because there's four main functions. And I'm going to look at my notes so my analyst doesn't tell me off. We've got the thinking, perception, and then at the bottom, and they go like that into, well, perception in English is also called sensation. We call it perception in Spanish, but it's sensation in English. And then at the bottom, you have your intuition and your feeling. So... I am predominantly more feeling. So my weaknesses or the area I need to elaborate more on is the, right the opposite on the opposite side of the of this box. So it's thinking, which is all the logic, is the maths, is the knowing your dates, your years, when things happen. That's my husband. And we complement each other very well. Because of that, we are exact opposites. So from those four functions, well, you have the introverted version and you have the extroverted version. So for the introverted version, you have these four functions, and for the extroverted version person, you have these other four functions. So in total, there are eight. And then what happened later on is that Myers-Briggs, which I think they were daughter and mom and daughter, they develop these tests further. That's why we get now all these, all the letters added to it.
Yeah.
And because then it becomes more and more specific, which again, we have to be very careful because this is not a recipe. This is just some guidelines. And it can also change over time. Because I used to think I'm an extrovert because I talk a lot. But we confuse terminology as well. The fact that someone talks a lot doesn't mean that it's an extroverted. And someone that is introverted doesn't mean that it's shy.
No.
And again, it looks like, there's a bit of echo, let's see if I get closer. It looks like it's mainly societal, our beliefs and the way we use vocabulary, which we said that the other day. It's got to do a lot with how society has been feeding us and how some people overuse and use badly all this vocabulary. Like we were saying the other day, when we're narcissism, everybody uses narcissism. Everybody uses red flag. Everybody uses archetypes. And what happened is that for those who are experts on this area, they get really angry and they're right. We all using this vocabulary. We throw it around because we sound very cool.
Yeah.
But we don't really know what we're talking about sometimes, not in depth at least.
But it's these hype words. So it becomes like archetypes. Yeah, I know this. And as you said, red flags and whatever. But the thing about, the Myers-Briggs test as well. Yeah. And when you said it's so many different ways also, because you have other tests.
Yes.
It's like, for example, in my coaching, I use the saboteurs. It's more looking into the different, because you're not just one person. You have all these things. So you have, for example, the stickler, the perfectionist, and the avoider, the pleaser, the restless. And the way, when I work with my clients in this, is that you see that the saboteurs, they work in different situations. So these saboteurs are kind of voices in your head because they talk to you. And for example, for me, I'm a stickler and kind of restless, and I have not so many of the others, but those are the two ones. And I know, the more I know myself, the more I also know when they are actually collaborating, because I know then what they're saying to you, what they are saying to me or what I'm saying to myself, and how they kind of ruin things for me with talking badly, saying like stuff to me that kind of affects me. It's like, you can't really deliver this to a client. This is not good. This is not good enough. So it's knowing yourself and the voice is kind of talking to you as well. It sounds like I'm crazy. I'm not. But but also when you talk about introverts and extroverts, because everybody is like, I have no problem talking. I had a speech before like 200-300 people. Wow. And that is not a problem for me because I know what I'm talking about. So
it's for me though, and I was a teacher.
But for me, it wasn't a problem. I was like, I'm talking about digital strategy. It's no problem. But I'm still defining myself. Yeah, but I define myself as an introvert because the way I kind of get energy is by kind of shutting everyone out. So that is, oh my God, now she's talking again. Yeah, but it's like the introvert and extrovert is so kind of differently defined because for me, I don't have a problem speaking like in front of people. I don't have, but take me into big, large gatherings. I'm the one in the back hiding because because I don't really, it's like going down and chit-chatting and it's not me.
Yeah.
But put me on stage and let me talk about something I know and really care about, passionate about, as we talked about. I can talk, no problem. But put me in the crowd where I need to kind of GPP, as we say. It's like chit-chat and go like, go around and go like, I don't enjoy it. No.
Then that's why you have to start. I think it's important when you look at this test, which I think I highly recommend that people start investigating themselves that way first.
Yeah.
Even by writing lists down, even if you don't want to do any tests, you just, you know, the recommendation would be just go and start figuring out how you really feel about every situation, what you don't like, what you really like, and just be truly honest with yourself. And even something as simple as writing a list down, you're already creating awareness and you're already down to something, you know, you're already working on it. And it's not going to happen from one day to the next. You're not going to, oh yes, I'm going to be this. And even like you're saying now, maybe because it sounds like someone said you could be either both an introverted person or an extroverted. We have to look at exactly in what spaces you're an introvert and which spaces, as you're saying, socially speaking, you don't like being the center of attention. So that's why you have... But it's quite... I used to think the same. I used to think this is strange because when I get going with someone, I kind of take over. Talking, blah, 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 blah. But when I'm in a big party, I'm like you, I just move back and I start observing people and I think, oh my God. And this is like sucking it all in. And I'm thinking, this is so harmful. I want to go. And yet when I was a teenager, my place to be was a disco, which is a place that is very noisy, it's very loud. But then I suppose because of the music being so loud, I felt it because I'm a feeling person. I am an INFP. So I really feel the music and it's talking to me and it's like a film in my head. I'm looking at which is the best looking guy there and I'm dancing. And so that's for me. But now give me a presentation to sell my product that I really know back to front. And I sweat, I get stomachache, even, and that's happened to me, and I really, really struggle. My voice shakes. I just hate it. I really do. I mean, I prefer doing now when I've been doing seminars online or webinars online. I prefer, but even then, knowing that there's a lot of people listening to me that I don't know, my voice trembles, I get insecure, I'm reading and missing lines because I skip them. I'm so afraid, I'm so self-concerned about being the center and getting it wrong. So those are the things that when you start being an entrepreneur, I think you really need to analyze every single thing like that because you could be taking the wrong path and then you might be working for a long time on a project that then goes, well, actually, it's not what I want to do. So for me, I think it's crucial, this super deep work on yourself first. And and how you interact with the world outside as well. I mean, and you were saying, Cecilia, that if you compare the entrepreneurial journey with finding a love partner, you were saying really interesting things the other day as you were giving me an
example. Something interesting.
Yeah, all the time. You were saying it's like finding a partner, and you were talking about this case where this lady was bringing her past traumas to the new relationship, and she was kind of almost seeing ghosts. There was so much archetypal work going on there that if we had to, like, you've seen more than me in clients because my space, my niche is a bit strange or not common. But you have actually really had the experience with friends, with people, with clients, where they go, oh, this is what is in my head from my past. And so how do you take them from those past traumas with bad relationships or failed relationships? How do you take them to the next step? What for you will be like 4 or 5 steps that they could take?
But that is actually what I'm having a webinar next week, and that is when I work with the saboteur. It's the positive intelligence program. And what we talk about then is how you can turn things into a gift and opportunity. And I know it's really difficult, because if you're into kind of something really heavy, you lost somebody or there is a terrible breakup or whatever, it's really hard to know that, okay, how can you look upon this and give, like, what is the gift and opportunity? But the thing is, taking that into consideration, time is always of essence. So for example, the first thing I would say is, like, give yourself empathy. Mm-hmm. You need to give yourself that empathy, because it's both giving yourself empathy, giving the situation empathy, giving the other person empathy. So, for example, if you take with you past trauma into a new relationship, you need to give the other person, the empathy in thinking he or she is not the same person that you used to be with. This is a different person. So how can you actually give them leeway in saying, like, okay, how can I try to interpret the thing you say with a different point of view, for example, and just looking upon it and saying, I can hear what you say. I can hear, okay, and this triggers something in me, but can I look upon it in a different way using empathy, for example? So that is a really good way to kind of both help yourself, help the relationship, and go in and say, okay, now Alicia said something that triggers me, but is this my old reactions? Is like this trauma in me reacting, or is it a red flag? It's like so what is it in me creating? And it's like not always putting in that, like, he's a narcissist.
Exactly.
Yeah, so pulling all the strings and go like that, yep, that's the definition. I know it, I've seen it. That's the way it is. So, for example, using empathy in the situation, or using, you have a couple of others as well. It's like innovation. Can you look upon this with a new set of eyes? And how can I, develop this further? It's like, can I use this? I don't have a good situation for, I can look into it and just find an example, but you can use empathy, innovation, exploration. It's like, okay, what is it I'm not seeing here? What am I missing, for example? And use the exploration part of it. Yeah. So that is also a way. And you can use, for example, another way of looking at it, which I use I learn my clients, is that, okay, if you go, say, 20 years ahead of you, say, okay, Alicia is now 80 years old. If she looks back on this situation, would this be important?
Well, that's an exercise I cannot do.
Okay.
I just can't go that back in the future and then look back. I just can't do that. It's too much. You're just asking for too much.
Okay. So where is the problem there in going for, like, What's triggering?
It's probably got to do with how I'm wired more than what I've experienced, because I think that's important too, to differentiate between how are you wired and accept that that's how you're wired and then work on that, and what's happened to you. I've not experienced the future, so I don't have any future traumas because I've not experienced the future. But for me is, you know, I'm a creative person. I've got a writer's mind. So asking me to think what's going to be like when I'm 80 looking back, there's so many possible factors that can determine change. You put it in the baby, this lady keeps coming.
That's Siri. My God. Yeah.
There's a lot there to consider. That the only thing I can say to you is I have no clue. I have no clue, because my husband has a heart condition. So if I think about that, I'm already thinking maybe I'm not going to be with a husband anymore. My parents are not going to be there. I don't think so much about myself. I think about all the people around me.
You take everything into consideration then, because
so I'm a feeling person, and you know, so my main function is feeling.
So that is actually quite interesting to look upon, because for me it's just, for example, if it was me going into a new relationship and I had some issues with this guy I went into a relationship with, and I was like going, then I would just kind of, if I think about going 20 years ahead when Cecilia is say 80 years old, I would just see Cecilia. That is kind of the task I'm going. It's like, this is talking to Cecilia. I'm just seeing myself 20 years ahead going, like, looking on the situation, not looking where I'm at, that, like, say I'm 80 years old and looking, where am I? Or who's there? It's just the dialogue with myself. It's talking to Cecilia. Is this of essence? Do I need to be scared of this? Do I need to... So I can see you're kind of taking the whole thing in, but...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but this is just, for example, you talking to yourself. If you're sitting in a living room 20 years ahead, just you, not thinking about everyone around you, but it's just you. And taking advice from Alicia at 8 years old, saying, was this important in your life?
But I need to experience that. I need to experience first things to know what I would have done with or without. It's like saying, like when my mom and dad, or my dad mainly, now he's not saying that anymore, but he used to say, if you had done your degree when you were 18, now you wouldn't be where you are. And I've had to stop him so many times and say, those mistakes were my choice. And they're not mistakes, they learnings. And I mean, yeah. I've been telling them this from before I knew anything about Jungian psychology or anything about neuroscience, anything. It was a defense mechanism in front of my dad, who probably represents my animals, you know, my male side, and we're so similar. And it was like, no, I needed those bad experiences.
Because at
that moment, my brain was growing and I was wired that way. I didn't have the future experience. So for me to travel in the future means knowing what other learning and experiences I'm going to go through to be there. For me, it's an impossible exercise. Because...
Okay. But that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's not as simple. Yeah, I think it's because of how I'm wired. So that's why we need to know how we are wired.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yeah, because then again, for me, if it's say looking at these things, then I will take up note one thing about learning and what, choices. But what we have is like using the empathy, it's exploration and it's innovation and it's navigation and it's activation. And it's five different things. So if you don't manage to use like the 20 years ahead, it's trying empathy. Could you give yourself more empathy? Could you give the other person more empathy? And could you give the situation empathy? If you understand what I mean. It's like, is this really you? Yeah. And then
again,
you have the...
Yeah, empathy is being used here in a way that I'm not familiarized with.
Yeah, but it's a really good way of seeing things. Because, okay, could you kind of excuse the other person? It's like, I notice I use this a lot with my kids, for example. I've used it even though I didn't know I'm using it. But it's like my son, he was really nagging about one of his teachers. And I said, but maybe this teacher has a small child. He doesn't sleep. He's maybe just become a new dad and he doesn't sleep. The kid is really annoying. He's crying all the time. So maybe he's tired and he's sleepy. And that is, unfortunately, that's affecting you because he is tired.
Yes, so in that sense.
Giving the other person empathy in the way that you actually, okay, maybe he's going through stuff I don't really know about.
Yeah, it's been empathic, yes. It's more than giving the empathy, it's being empathic, yes. It's putting yourself in the other person's shoes.
Yeah, trying to. And just saying, okay, maybe he's behaving this way towards me because he has had trauma. We both know about the trauma. It's like, maybe he's an asshole because he's actually gone through so much shit that, okay, this is the reason he's this way. So that is the way I'm talking about kind of empathy. Can you try and use it more? Because it's a good way of changing. And then you have the exploration. It's like, are there other ways to look at this? It's like, are there people you can look up to or people you look up to who would handle this situation differently than you do? What can you learn, for example? That is a way.
Yeah.
And then you have the innovation. It's like, what is actually good with this situation? What is actually right? What is a good thing with this? Even though it's like you say, the other person is always 10% right, for example. So what can, if I'm totally disagreeing with you, Alicia, and I would look into, it's like, what could be 10% right with the things you're saying, for example? And then you have the navigate, which is more like going forth and say, okay, what the ones that's difficult for you. So I will drop that one. But that is an option. Looking, okay, could I go ahead and see, is this going to be important in my life? When I'm 70, 80, will this thing I'm struggling with now, is it important? Is it important that I choose this job or the other job or doing this project or whatever? It's just,
Yeah, I guess for people like me, probably it's a very good exercise, but maybe giving us less time rather than give me another 40 years on top of the 40, you know?
Yeah.
It's maybe, okay, is this relevant for me? Was like, what, is it relevant right now? And that's what got me through. So for me, that exercise needs to be adapted to my brain. So it's like the short term.
That's a good thing. So you can use that one.
Yeah. And I have actually been doing that for a little bit since I've met you, because you made me think about it. You didn't say that's how you navigate, but you said to me, and why not? And why don't you see this this way? Well, take a step at a time. Well, do a little list instead of giving yourself 10 things every day. Give yourself 2. And if you accomplish those and you get an extra, yay.
Yeah.
So is that, for me, yes, that's been a life changer. Because if I know that every day I can get something done, I know I feel okay with myself.
You can tick off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done these 3 things. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But that is, again, what you talked about, like when you say about what you go into as an entrepreneur. I never say that I'm failing. I'm actually learning. So that's also a different way to tune in and say that I didn't fail. I'm learning. And I learned. And what did you learn? It's like, I learned from this situation that I'm not going to approach a client this way next time. I learned that I'm not going to use maybe this word. And maybe I learned that I need to be more clear about my products. Maybe I learned that I need to change my appearance. It's like, it's all learning. And that is what I say to my kids as well. It's kind of practice what you preach. It's, as I said, for example, my youngest, she's kind of now looking into where to go to uni. And I said, but whatever you're choosing, it can never be wrong. Because if you choose something and you know that, okay, this isn't for me, then that's a lesson learned. It's like, then you know, that wasn't for me. You tried it. It didn't work. Wasn't for me. Do something else.
Yeah, but society here has is very heavy.
It is.
So we are a lot of us we worried about what this is going to look like, what are my family going to say? And when you're younger, it's like mistakes are allowed, but when you are older, like we are now, okay, my family have stopped asking me what is it that I do. Because now half of the time they don't understand it. And it's that niche and it's so different from the typical traditional jobs. But the society has a lot to say. And it's rather sad that for someone like your daughter's age now, where she's got all the future, she can make as many mistakes as she needs to, that they're not going to be mistakes, they're going to be lessons, as you were saying. But that she still has that ingrained in her means that we've not really moved on as a society.
We haven't. And that's the reason why it's so important for us, especially I think also as entrepreneurs, that for me it's really important to show my kids that I'm trying this. I don't know exactly what I'm doing. Okay, I'm almost 50 soon. It's a couple of years though, but still, it's like I still don't know exactly what I'm doing and who I want to be and what I want to do. So for them, it's like my youngest, who's 18, is like, I'm still 50. I don't know. You definitely don't want to, or you don't need to know when you're 18. You have your whole life in front of you. Go ahead, play around. But she's really artistic, and oh my God, she is singing, she is painting, she is drawing. And she said, but mom, I can't make money out of this. I was like, says who?
Says who, yeah. Find a way. Get us to get the Myers-Briggs test and find ways to get there. Yes, because there are options. If not, you can create them.
Yeah, and online and digital,
That's
Yeah,
right, no?
but it, and again, it says who? Because we're all stopping ourselves. Because what I'm trying to teach her is that don't stop yourself. If this is something you're passionate about, if this is something you love, you will find a way. And I'm saying that to you as well, Alicia, because if we're passionate, if we really love our project, we will find a way.
But there's another thing here that there are some of us who are very creative, that there's so many things that we could do.
Know all about it. I have 10 companies in my head. Yeah, so yeah.
Imagine, yes, it's that. And everything is like, and you and I are very similar in that way, that we like little crows, that we see something shiny and we go there. Ooh, I can do that. And then there's no wall either, is there, for us? I can do that. Oh, that might be a bit difficult, but I'm gonna have a go. That can be very useful and very destructive because then we just spread so much that, I'm doing on Fridays, like today's Friday, recording this, and I go with my youngest son to do crochet with Sam. And I'm creating, I'll have to show you it. I'm making a cape, and it's a bad cape. Crochet, imagine it's this long now and it's heavy. But I'm thinking I'm crocheting away, which is fantastic. And I'm thinking maybe I could have a crocheting business. And I think that my teacher can see it on my face because I keep saying, I'm gonna sell this. And she's like, that's competition. But everything is a business. You can't go on like that. That's not good either because then your brain is in too many places and the hours in the day do not really help. And other things that you have to take into account, they don't really help. Otherwise, you'll be on a mission, which is quite risky because when you're in such a mission, then you just run people over. And when we're also moms, and we've got people to look after. And that's another thing that we need to include and start including in our entrepreneurial lives. We're not just an entrepreneur. We are moms. We look after our house. We look after family. Maybe some people have older parents to look after, or they might have had disability themselves or one of their children. Life is not easy. So when you see these perfect entrepreneurs, it's like, yeah, okay, tell me how do you do all your earrings and how do you do all your housework? And then I'll go, right, okay, I'll buy it. But, you know, the reality is very different. So yeah, we have to also say, let's use my energy in the right way. Don't waste it. And yeah, just have clear. I've lost a bit of the because I can hear a bit of echo. Let's hope it's not too bad when we.
No, it sounds good here. Yeah.
But maybe in the recording it might be echoing. But yeah, I think it's important that to make lists at the beginning as well. You know, going back to how to start this entrepreneurial thing is to write down a lot of things. At least for me, this is work. Yeah. Write lists, take tests, really figure out what you like, what you don't like. Listen to people, don't listen to people, don't read, you know, take your time and experiment. And it's very important to go back to the things you liked as a child. I think for me, that's been key. Nobody has really said that. Carl Jung has said that. When I'm reading his book on memory, dreams and reflections, he went back to a childhood game and that made him go deep. And that's how he started discovering the archetypal world. So going back to you were saying that there's the saboteurs that you're talking about, the empathy, the... What was the other? The
innovation.
What was the other one?
Exploration, navigation, and activation.
And activation. So for activation, because I interrupted big style there. For activation, how does that work?
That is more like knowing. That is more like you talked about now. Knowing who you are. So it's activating. It's like knowing, for example, if you're aware of your saboteurs, you're aware, like you have taken the Myers-Briggs test and you're aware of, not that I'm saying weaknesses, but you have your strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, we do have weaknesses.
Yeah, we do. but it's knowing them and knowing when they will challenge you. So it's just going into, for example, how do you think that, for example, your saboteurs can intervene with the things you're going to do? Because if I am prepared and knowing that I'm now going into a new project, say with you, I can have some saboteurs saying, this will never work. It's like the stickler in me will go like, but this is not good enough. This is not, and we need to do this much better. And we need to, so all these voices, instead of saying, let's just go with it. Let's just jump in it. So can we, for example, do something else? Stop the voices. So that is activation. It's like more activating and knowing what to say, both know when your saboteurs are active and know when kind of these negative things affect you too much and how to stop them.
How does this, because you said this is what you're doing, is positive intelligence program. This is what?
Yes.
And where does that, just for information, because where does that come from? How did it originate? Because, I mean, I can see all this, and for me, this is archetypal, obviously, because I'm looking from the Jungian lens. It's all archetype with all the words.
But it's if you, for example, now I've taken, like, the positive intelligence, I've gone into neuroscience, the NLP, I have several of these degrees from coaching, and for example, the positive intelligence is a combination of NLP, is positive psychology, so that's a combination. But what I've noticed when I've taken all these certifications is that the Jungian psychology and the positive psychology and everything, it's kind of, it intertwines so much, because you also have these, as you say, archetypes, and you have another one which is called DISC, where you have the blue people, the green people, red people, and the yellow people.
I've not seen that one.
Then we can talk about that one as well. Because, that is also interesting, because it is, everything is connected, because it's just our personalities taking out in different shapes and forms. But the thing about the positive intelligence, in which I've really just the one I started really heavily going with courses, is it's so easy to understand it. And it's kind of fun as well, because when you talk about these saboteurs and we start going into who they are, and how they affect it. It's kind of a, it's an easy way in, if you can say, because everyone, when you take the saboteur test, you could do that on my website, you can take it for free and you can go in and see which saboteurs are kind of peaking on your profile. And then you can go in and read about each of these saboteurs and go like, okay. And everyone who takes the test goes like, oh, I knew about this one, knew about this one. But suddenly there are some of the saboteurs, they go, seriously, I didn't know about this one. And then we start kind of going into depth and go and see, okay. And they go, oh, okay, might have a bit of that one as well. So it's kind of a bit entertaining as well, because most people know themselves somewhat. And when you see kind of the test of the saboteurs, they go like,
but also you have to be truly honest with yourself. You have to like say, yes, this is me. And also I think something's happened to me is don't judge yourself.
No.
Because it feels like if I answered, you know, with tests, what happens, and probably this happens to some people, maybe this resonates with the audience, that you are choosing your answers and you're going, maybe this is the one that's going to give me a bad grade. And it's like, yeah, you're sabotaging yourself. Absolutely. You know, the word that saboteur, I can see why as well, because it's like you want to be, maybe this is because of the personality type I am, but you want to be, I want to be likable all the time. Impossible. I know it is. Cognitively, I know it's impossible, but I am wired in the way that I don't like fights. I don't like when people misinterpret me, because when someone says, you've done this, you've done that, I really go, oh, how have I really suffer? Have I done that to you? And I really go in and that, I beat myself up, you know, it's terrible. That's why I like the coffee. So.
Yeah, but that is definitely one of the things I work mostly with my clients, is the self, you beat yourself up and learning ways to tackle. I actually have an exercise I would like to do with you in regards to this thing. But it's not beating yourself up, being kind to yourself, because we are the only ones stopping ourselves.
Yeah.
Nobody else, because everybody else is busy with their own stuff.
Yes, that's
it's
true.
Like when you go into a situation, it's like, oh my God, she's probably thinking this and he's thinking that. And everybody has an opinion of you. Everyone.
Yes.
That is just the way it is. If it's positive, it's negative. Can you kind of separate the two and think, I know they have an opinion of me.
And you can't stop it. You can't stop it either. You know, you can't stop what people think. We all do this as well. We all look at the outside and we look at something and we are already making up a story. Sometimes when we're driving, you know, Alistair will say, oh, just by looking at someone in the street, probably this person, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden there's a story there. And I'm like, how do you know?
But that's the way when we go on holiday, me and my daughter as well. It's like if we sit in a restaurant, we go like, yeah, they're probably, this is a couple. He's married on her behalf. And then so they're probably.
People watching.
Love it. And we make up all these stories and they're. Might be.
But that drives me mad. That actually drives me mad, because I think, you know, when you see Alistair, you go, he's a good looking man. Well, I think so. And then people go, oh, you look fantastic, you look great. And he goes like, yeah, because you haven't seen what I'm like inside. I'm really ill and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes into this, you know, people are so superfluous. And I'm going, but you do the same when you see people. You don't know the battles we're all fighting.
No, you never know.
And you don't know why, you know, the other day, yesterday we were carrying some bags from the shopping and we were going to the car. And I was thinking, he wasn't carrying any bags. John and I were, you know, my eldest son and I were carrying the bags, because we tried to avoid him picking up a lot of weight all the time. And so I thought, if someone now is watching us in the car park, someone is going to probably think, look at him, the wife and the son are carrying the bags.
Look at him.
Lazy bastard. Oops. But, you know, probably people think that. And in Spain, we have a joke, which is quite funny, that actually says, and it's very visual, this it's very illustrative, it says, you know, that you can never get it right. So there's this story about a man on a donkey with his son. Yes, I think it's a man or a priest. It doesn't matter. So they go into this town, and in the first time they walk through, they're not on the donkey. So the father and the son, they're walking next to the donkey. And the people in the village say, look at these two stupid people. They could be on the donkey rather than walking. So then they decide, oh, in the next town, you jump on the donkey. So that is the son. So in the next town, they say, look at this child. He's not looking after the dad. He could be the one, he's older, could be on the donkey. So they change again in the next town. They do the same, but they swap. So it's the dad on the donkey. So and the kid is walking. So again, oh, look, you know, the poor child is there, he's young, and the father could be walking because he has more strength. And in the end, they both jump on the donkey. And poor animal, what are you doing to him? So in the end, it doesn't matter what you do.
No.
There's always going to be something wrong with the story.
Everyone has an opinion.
Yes.
And that is what you need to know as well. If you start your own business, you need to have the strength as well to tackle, like, for example, for us, when we go, we'll say we have videos, we portray ourselves in social media, and everyone will have an opinion of you. Some people will unfollow you. Some people will follow you. Some people will hate you. Some people will love you. People won't understand what you're all about. And it's like, you will need to tackle this as well. And that is probably one of the most important things to be aware of, is that people have an opinion of you.
Yes.
So how will you actually handle this going online if you're thinking about an online presence as an entrepreneur? It's important to kind of think, okay, can I handle the pressure? Because there are so many people out there that can't really handle the pressure of, oh my God, she didn't like me, she unfollowed me. And if you struggle with these things, I think you will also struggle with running a business.
Yes, absolutely, yes. Well, you need to find a strategy, mate, to be able to put up with that. But if we had to, because we are almost, it's an hour since we've been talking. If we had to, for the audience, if we had to like wrap up and give like the main keys or main exercises that they could start doing, whether they just new at this or they've been doing their own entrepreneurial business and it's not quite getting what they want, maybe doing this exercise, looking into these things will be good. So for you, what do you think we can summarize and wrap up? Like how to start entrepreneurial journey using the failures as a gift. What failures should we be looking at, or personality things, and what external factors, like you were mentioning now, maybe the way we look at being accepted.
Yeah. But using your failures as a gift, it's looking at what have you actually learned? It's like, so if you start your entrepreneurial journey and you think about your failures. So what have you learned? What can you teach others maybe?
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned from your journey? It's probably one of the things. Yeah.
That's just like the first analysis. Yeah, just maybe write this list. So, okay, who am I up till now?
Yeah.
This exercise that you told me that I need to do, in fact.
Yeah, the
stages, yeah.
Yeah, the dividing your life into five parts and seeing, okay, how can I use the things I learned now in my entrepreneurial journey?
Yes.
What can I contribute with? And I think also knowing who you are, in which we've talked about all this this time as well, it's like, who are you? What are your values? I think knowing who you are, knowing your values, what do you want to come across as? It's like, what value do I give to my clients, to my potential clients? And how can I, if I don't have them as a client yet, how can I kind of build this presence that actually show the things I want to show, like the values? Okay, I want to be open and honest. Okay. Do I want to be portrayed as professional? So how do you want to be a professional? How do you want to come across as a professional?
Yeah. And also, I think we've forgotten one of the super important things, and that was for me at least, is if you don't have a niche, how do you find your niche? So maybe that's something else talk about in episode 3. You cannot find your niche until you figure out all of these that we're saying today.
Yeah.
At least for me, that's how it was. That's how it's been. Because then cognitively thinking about the niche, you're not feeling the niche because you're not thinking about what makes you being you, because you are so worried about the what are they going to say? I don't know what my values are. Exactly. So,
So finding yourself and then finding again, okay, this is me. And who then is my target group? What is my niche? Yeah.
Yeah. And even without thinking the target group, because that for me was a strain, as you know. But I know that even just having one person, and I think that for me it's been very useful, just thinking if I have just one person talking to me and connecting with what I'm doing, if I can sell a course or a product or a service to that one client, then I know that I can replicate that. But I think that's for another episode.
But you can also tune it in and say, if I'm helping one person, instead of saying I can sell something to that person, if I can help one person.
True.
Then it's better than not helping anyone. So if you find one person, you will definitely find another one. So, tweaking that one instead of selling, you're helping that one person.
Well, because as you know, when there's a financial struggle, then unconsciously the vocabulary comes out. So for me, selling at the moment.
Yeah.
And the selling is priority to helping. Although when I've already sold, I'm the most genuine and the most giving person because I have my client now, one of my clients in my mentoring course that I'm over delivering because I just want to. I'm happy doing it. I'm enjoying it. Yeah. And she's like, wow, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's rewarding. It's super rewarding. I mean,
but I think that's where the both of us are the same, because me too. It's like helping another person, getting clarity. If it's like knowing who you are or knowing who your target group is, or helping you like with a digital presence, or for you it's like working with a mind and how to write. It's like, that is the most rewarding thing. So I think for the people listening is find out what gives you that reward.
Yes. Yes. And it's a long journey also. So don't forget, it's a long journey that it doesn't matter. And obviously we need to see how to balance, that's for another day as well, to balance your financial side of things with your new entrepreneurial journey, because it doesn't happen overnight. And the economical pressure can actually jeopardize all of these. So, but more things to talk about in next episodes.
Yes.
So we're going to go now. So you are in Digital Minds and Dark Dreams. And if we think of any lists or any extra material, we'll be letting our audience know. Also, we have a webpage. It's not live yet, is it? We are working on a lot of things at the same time. But this is our webpage. We're going to start putting things there. Maybe we'll have to discuss what can go there, like maybe references to these tests and people can have a look at things. But we need to talk about that.
And we will also list down below in YouTube, like links to the test we're talking about, so people can take these tests if they want to.
Yes, that could be good. We could get some feedback on what they figured themselves out and stuff. But we'll have to think about our social media as well. So we're at the beginning of this journey as well, people. So walk with us.
And if we have any comments or anything we want to discuss in our episodes, please reach out and
that's it.
We'll answer any questions.
Yep. And if you like this video, please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with others. I always forget that on my own channel. So.
Good one. Okay, thank you.
Speak to you again very soon, and let's see what we can talk about in podcast number 3, because after we take notes, this is going to be very juicy.
Yes. Hope to see you next time.
Likewise. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.